On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, brought to you by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Insurance Journal, Carrier Management, and other fine publications. This episode is supported by Personal Umbrella, where you can get standalone personal umbrella policies of up to $5 million in 3 minutes online just by answering four simple questions at Personal Umbrella. Today, our guest is Ken Gregg, an industry veteran and CEO of Orion 180. You can check it out if you can surf safely while you're listening here, Orion180.com. Welcome, Ken.
Good morning, Peter. Thank you. Glad to join you.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little about your company and what you've got going on there. I understand that this is an insurtech that enables the independent agent channel as opposed to disabling, as it were. But before we get into the company, maybe you could start with a little background on yourself, how you got involved in insurance and what led you to where you are today.
Absolutely. That's a great question. I appreciate that. And it's a joy to be here and share and discuss the opportunities and what we're doing here at Orion 180. You know, I've been in the insurance industry now 25 years, worked for some of the largest, actually worked for, you know, two of the largest in the world. I worked for AXA and Allianz at one point, running national distribution for Allianz, for third-party distribution, as well as working on product development. Did the same thing for CNA earlier in my career. I got started just as so many people do when they come out of school. I really chose to be in the insurance industry, and that's kind of tongue-in-cheek. You know, when I came out of grad school, you know, I was looking for an opportunity, and I just got, you know, found an opportunity within the insurance space and really learned a ton about it and learned to, you know, become passionate, love the challenges that came with it. So, you know, I came out and, you know, been in the industry from anywhere from business development, product development, and all the way up now to running my own company and developing our own technology platforms. So I've been doing it now for 25 years.
So how did you get the company started? What was the initial work like, and when was that?
Actually started, we opened doors in August of 2016. It's interesting when we really talk about Orion 180 is we were out there looking at the an opportunity, and I've always been a big believer of technology, and it really goes back to way back from when I came out of grad school, actually. I felt there was opportunities. I had a vision for a platform on my mind, and working for some of the largest companies, I always saw there was disconnect between technology platforms and how they interacted with our customer base. And then also as we grew we would look every year at growing our business. And every time we looked to grow, we'd always go to our distribution and say, we want you to grow XYZ by X percentage, but also we need you to do more work to do that. Right. And it was always funny, like, you want your sales folks to do more work, but produce more. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I focused on utilizing technology. And that was always my premise of how to make business, do business, ease of business as a focal point of my company. And when I started Orion 180, and that's where it comes from. Orion, as you know, I don't know or how familiar you are, we're in Melbourne, Florida, right here on the Space Coast. We're 20 minutes from the Space Center, watching the shuttles launch, the rockets launch. And, you know, for us, that's, you know, it takes a lot of technology to, you know, launch a rocket. And then the 180 is, you know, 360 is a full circle, 180 is in opposite direction. So the whole point premise behind Orion 180 is to take insurance in a different direction. And it's about focal point of making the ease of doing business while providing competitive product, competitive pricing, and providing what the end consumer really wants or needs. And making it as easy as possible to manage their everyday business. So I did that in 2016, wanted to start small. I did it rubbing two nickels together with one nickel and built a company that we're experiencing fabulous growth with a great deal of success with and focusing on loss ratios as well. We're not just giving away the product and eating losses to get market share.
Yeah, I that's a cool story. I was going to ask you about what's behind the name, and so many names in the insurance industry sound similar. And This one does not. So that's kind of a cool story of your origin and also where you're located. So thanks for explaining that. So is it, are you guys an MGA then?
Technically we are an MGA, but we're in the process of right now standing up our own regulated entity, but we do, it's our program. We develop the product. We actually get all the reinsurance that supports behind it, and we use a fronting company. It's a more cost-effective way of starting a company, because essentially our fronting fee that we use with our carrier, which is AM Best, and that was important to us, is to have an AM Best rating. And our fronting company, we essentially pay them a front fee, which is we're renting their capital. And in return, we then own the product. It's our distribution. Everything about it is ours. We bring the reinsurance to the table, and we also participate in the risk. So through a quota share percentage, and we actually take the lion's share of the quota share.
Okay, got it. But you said you're evolving it?
Yeah, we're going to actually, we're looking right now to either stand up our own entity. We're in the process of doing that, looking to set up our own InsurCo regulated entity.
Florida is legendary for just absolute mess when it comes to property insurance. Of course, right. It depends on where you are in Florida. I used to live down in Tampa Bay area, and we'll probably head back there 1 year permanently. But you know, it's a real struggle, and that in the insurance industry, at least the private insurance industry, that means opportunity when there's things like this. Big storms like Hurricane Andrew gave rise to all sorts of new reinsurance and other kinds of capital, and for example. So is this, did you see the same thing? Like, how'd you even get to Florida? Like, how'd you even think of this?
Well, first of all, I grew up here. I grew up in Melbourne. And
That's unusual. Most people move to Melbourne, don't they?
Yeah. And I moved away for 18 years. So I came back when I knew I was going to start the company, I decided I was determined to come back here and build it here in Melbourne, which is, again, in itself, it's unusual because most insurance companies in Florida, as you are aware, are either South Florida or over in the Tampa area. So for us, we have to build our own talent, recruit our own talent. And so it's a challenge in itself, which we've been very, pleased with what our results are. But I decided to come back here. And to your point, Florida is a very challenging market. But we're not going to come to Florida. We don't write in Florida right now. We write in the Southeast, but we don't write in Florida, we don't write in Texas, and we do not write in Louisiana. I have no plans to go to Texas or Louisiana, but we are going to come to Florida in January. But again, I have my strategy on that because, to your point, Florida is very challenging. And there's a lot of issues with Florida and how do you participate and how do you do it. But again, to your point, it also leads to opportunity if you do it the right way, which we have a strategy to do.
So tell us a little bit more about your geographic footprint then and how you distribute your products.
So we are in Alabama, Mississippi, South Carolina, North Carolina. We just launched in Tennessee, and we launch in the end of this month, we'll launch in Georgia. So we'll be 6 Southeast states. We're expanding next year into Florida, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, and possibly Michigan. And our intent is to be in 2 more years after that. By 2024, we want to be in about 30 states. And we do homeowners only right now. Our growth plan is to go in, starts in next year, we're going to start offering standard auto. So we'll be able to bundle. And our distribution strategy is very clear. It's been from day one, a distribution strategy focused on independent agents. And to do that, we felt, and it's an area, I'll give you a funny background on it, Ryan. When I first was developing the business plan, I saw opportunity for technology, and I was looking at a direct-to-consumer play. And in 2014 to 2015, I went out to the marketplace to try to find support and raise capital on direct-to-consumer, and I made a mistake and went to insurance companies or insurance-focused entities and discussing that idea, and they all looked at me like I had a third eye. And didn't think anybody would buy a direct consumer online. But I explained to him at that point, it was about a 5-year window because of cost of acquisition. But I had always had built in my strategy that start direct consumer and bifurcate into and support independent agents as a lead gen as well. But, as the plan, as a good, person does, as you look and see opportunity, whereas when you see challenges, you have to adjust, right? And I adjusted to start with independent agents and bring the technology to them, which I had always intended to do as their help them compete against direct-to-consumer and compete in the world of technology. And that's what we did. We launched our platform that way to help the agents really compete against direct-to-consumer with a technology platform from that area.
So can consumers buy direct, or is it only now through an independent agent to get to your stuff?
Currently, it is only through independent agents. We believe in that platform. We will bring a direct-to-consumer option to the table. But the reason I do that, it's more about, and I share with our agents that we're looking to do it, it's because it's the consumer that really is a direct-to-consumer buyer is not an independent agent client. And understanding that is a big, hurdle. It's just the buyer that is shopping online is not the same consumer that is going to want to deal with an agent, and ultimately that the agent really wants. And what you have to do is be able to get a means of making it easy to do business. And we have a different strategy of how we're going to acquire the consumer as well, because cost of acquisition is a major driver, is a big challenge when it comes to direct to consumer. And there's a lot of things that come with the direct-to-consumer buyer versus the one that goes through the independent agent. But we also want to utilize that channel as a lead gen for the independent agents.
Okay. It's making sense. Do you have a particular, the personal lines world is super competitive in some places and super tough in others, like we mentioned Florida. Mm-hmm. What's the angle that you can offer to an independent agent? Is it the kinds of properties you're insuring? Is it obviously, I'm sure there's some efficiency involved with writing the business quickly, but it's so competitive. I mean, there's like 2,000 PNC companies in the US that write homeowners.
That's a great point. And think about that from a standpoint of how many of them writing on, you look at the direct consumer play today, the insurtechs, right? The insurtech space is pretty much defined as two different ends of the spectrum. One that's a direct consumer, that's their means of distribution is insurtech. And then the other side are mostly third-party providers of technology to the insurance carriers, correct? As your insurtech. We are actually neither of those. We have built our own technology platform that is our entire operational platform that most companies utilize four to six different software platforms. We have our own one single platform that operates our entire business. And it's internally built, owned by us. We have our own internal staff of developers, and that's our differentiator. So for us, again, going back to our core focus for the independent agents is to make their life easier and help them grow their business as well as ours while doing it and managing loss ratios and targeting, to make sure that we target a profitable underwriting profit of doing business. We've experienced year over year, 300% growth. We'll experience over 300% growth again this year with maintaining sizable, penetration within the agency channels and coming in with our expansion that goes in along with it. We're excited about where we're going.
So is it all different kinds of home insurance, Ken? Mm-hmm. Is it, or a certain affluent or a certain kind of property?
No, it's a single HO3 only right now.
Okay. Got it. And how many agents do you have in these states that you're in, these six states, roughly?
We're roughly about 3,800 agents contracted with us.
And are they like typical independent agents? Just trying to get a sense of the culture.
We have the mix from small, one and two man shops to big, regional, national agencies. We have the mix.
It's really interesting. You mentioned car insurance. What's the strategy there? You want to be able to bundle stuff?
That's correct. We have the distribution platform. So our distribution platform, and they're asking for it. They'd love to do more business with us. they're excited about doing business with us. They enjoy doing business with us. And they're just looking for more product. And what it makes all sense when you need homeowners insurance, and overwhelmingly 99.9% of them need the auto insurance as well, and you might as well be able to bring the package with the bundling.
Mm-hmm. So like, how do you have the conversation with an agent initially? And I'm getting into the weeds on this more than normal guests, but I just find it so fascinating that I haven't heard of the company, which I know you're new and you're just getting out there. And you've got so many agents here in six states. I would have heard of it. And the reason is that you're in a sense coming into these shops. Most agents have a half dozen or a dozen carriers they can go to for homeowners insurance. And how do you explain this to them? You say to them, well, you have this workflow with these other six carriers, but here's our workflow. Is that the wedge? Is it price? Like, how do you talk with them?
It's actually the wedge is, if it is, it's about ease of doing business. What our value proposition is. We have a value proposition that is mostly targeted about a win-win scenario. We don't believe a win is just a win for us. A win is when we both win. And when we say all both, it's really the consumer, the insurer. So it's really a three wins, right? The insurer has to win, the agent has to win, and we have to win. If something comes in our favor and it doesn't, you know, it's not in favor of the insured or the agent, that's not a win for us. A win for us to make that a win is we have to hopefully get them to understand why we made that decision we had to make. But we focus on the experience, the consumer experience, the end user. And we have, you know, we really have three, as a company, we have three customers. We have our own internal employees as a customer. We have our agents as a customer, and we have, of course, the actual end user, the insured, as a customer. And we focus on the experience for all parties involved to be a difference maker. We really utilize technology as an asset. We utilize technology as a means of enhancing in efficiency and effectiveness to provide a better experience for all involved. you know, for example, we're launching our mobile app here in about 2 months. And we'll be the first industry that will allow an agent to quote bind and issue a policy from their phone in about 3 minutes. And that's simplistic. They can manage all their policies from their phone, their mobile app. Insured can manage every aspect of their business from their phone. All that will be coming out. We'll have a cutting edge mobile app here in about 2 months.
So how, what are you seeing in a broader way in the InsurTech space? How are you seeing it evolving, especially during the last couple of years, which have been certainly unique?
Good question. I find the InsurTech space to be delineated really between two areas, right? The distribution and the providers. On the distribution side, what you're seeing is they've missed the mark. They come out and they got a ton of press, right? They've done a great job marketing on how wonderful and easy it is to do a policy. But let me give an example of where they're missing, where I believe there's a mistake and some people should have questions. Let's say somebody offers a quote in about 30 seconds, but they don't ask any questions, right? They always like to say minimal data, put in your address, answer your age, and they give you a quote, right? In the Southeast, you got a lot of questions with hurricanes as a major risk. How do you know what discounts to provide them if you don't even ask them if they've had alarms? You can't get that from a third party provider if they have alarms or not. And if are they reporting alarms? What if they have wind mitigation features? What if they have, you know, in Florida, for example, as a primary example, how do you know if they've had, how their roof is strapped, if it's strapped for hurricane? Do you know if they have impact windows or do they have shutters? Because the data, for the most part, doesn't provide that. And the data is only so accurate. And you're not going to get 100% hit all the time. So you got to ask certain data. Otherwise, you're making assumptions. So when you look at the what you're finding is, and that's why you see a lot of these direct consumers, their loss ratios are through the roof, right? And they're hemorrhaging money. And what you're starting to see now, I'm sure you've seen in a lot of the articles coming out, how they're all starting to now, they want to expand into the independent agent channel. Because they got their cost of acquisition and the cost of the business is extremely expensive and it's not a fit. And there's always going to be a need for agents. There'll be a need for direct consumer that's going to be there going forward. It's a channel that's been breached and there's an opportunity there. There's a great opportunity there. But there's always going to be an agent channel because there's always going to have people looking at agents and wanting to have somebody else in between, which I think is a great, smart move. I'm a big believer in an independent agent channel. We will only do direct consumer as a supplemental channel if there's an opportunity and people want it, we'll have it available to them. But we'll even be offering people to go to independent agents from that channel. We're a believer and supporter of the independent agents. So I see what you see going forward is you're going to see that model continuing to evolve, and you're going to see some players have a chance, have a difficult time making a move over the other way because they're undercutting, and what are they going to do and how are they going to penetrate the agent channel? The other side is the data, the enhanced, which I'm applauding and look forward to working with the enhanced data providers. Data is important as can be. The better the data is, the more data you can get, it makes it easier and more effective, and yet you can do better underwriting. So we see big data as being a big tool going forward. And, you know, we continually look forward and enhancing our own tools and utilizing the best tools in the industry to make the experience better and provide a better product to our users.
Right. So to the point where you don't really need to ask about the hurricane strap because big data has told you they have them. Would that be good enough to not have to ask the question again? Is that what you're saying?
If you can find a clean data that you can rely on, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The better you can do it to have a better, to provide a better underwriting picture that you can more define and better underwrite and better price the risk is a great way that ultimately you want to get to.
Okay, well, it's really an interesting company, and I think it's an interesting comparison to say, you know, I'm going to trade the cost of acquisition via agents, which is higher than direct, but you get killed on the back end with the loss ratio, is what you're saying, if you only have direct, right?
Well, actually, no, the cost of acquisition is a lot higher on the upfront side on direct. Their intent is that they need to hold them for a period of time, and then eventually the cost of retention, it makes up for it.
Mm-hmm. Right. What is it, 3 years? I think you have to have somebody 3 years before you can really turn a profit, no matter who you are.
I think that depends on the company. I won't go down that path. I'll avoid that topic. Go
ahead. Yeah. Right. But
there's some out there that don't have any light at the end of the tunnel yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's is it possible that just speculating, not to put you on the spot, Ken, but if you've built this technology in-house, that it might be something you could offer other firms one day?
We've been approached about that, and I won't do it. It's our essentially competitive advantage and our value maker. And it's not, it's funny. I've looked at that in the past. I won't go down the hole, but the dealing with companies on technology is a very frustrating, essentially venture.
Yeah, it can be. It can be a long road.
Yeah, and our platform's built for us. So yeah, the answer to that question is no. We'll always continually make it as our value proposition and our differentiator, our competitive advantage.
Okay. All right, good. So by 2034, you will be how many states?
By 2024,
30 states.
Yeah. We should be 30 states by 2024.
And how many agencies would you want to have appointed?
Oh, we'd want to be north of probably where we six states, we're over 30, so about 500. So probably 15,000.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty ambitious. And
we've hit all of our goals. We've hit our goals almost every year. And people have always doubted us. We're going to hit our goals again this year. We already know we'll make our goals next year.
So last question, Ken, why do you care so much about this industry? I know there's money involved, pride in entrepreneurship and all those things, but why insurance and why this company?
Insurance is fun. You know, believe it or not, I mean, and that's a silly thing to hear, right? It's funny. We get a lot of employees like my chief operating officer is an aerospace guy. That's a shocker for you probably, right? We're very analytic driven. And when he first came on board with me, you know, it's like, okay, it can't be that difficult. Well, when you start learning the nuances, there's a lot of nuances to the insurance industry that are very challenging. That's why when you look at a lot of these companies out there, newer companies that people came from not being in the insurance industry and they only focus on growth, it's real simple, Peter, to take a company. I could sit here and have done $500 million in 2 years of written premium if I gave away the premium. If I just undercut everybody, if I would have went into Florida, Louisiana, Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, South Carolina, and just was the absolute cheapest out of everybody and not worried about losses, I could do $500 million. And I had unlimited money behind me. You know, if I went out and raised $500 million out of the box, I could do $250 million, $300 million in 2 years. Wouldn't be an issue. It's not difficult to do, right? It's like me coming up the street on you on the street. Peter, how about I sell you a product that you need to have, you're required to buy it, right? Everybody else is $100. I'll sell it to you for $75. And by the way, I know I'm going to have a loss on that, or I know I'm going to pay out of the $75 I brought in, I'm going to pay out probably $80 in losses. How hard is that to do? Not difficult, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where the nuance of understanding the insurance business comes into play. And we've grown the business, focusing on loss ratios, focusing on losses, and managing the portfolios the right way and creating a good book of business and being profitable along the way so we can be in the business long term.
Well, Ken, I wish you good luck. Thanks for, on behalf of our listeners here, taking some time to explain things. And we'll see you at a conference. I'm sure an InsurTech conference one of these days.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, Peter. Appreciate you for having me on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.